RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews The Zookeeper's Wife, now playing in area theaters.
It is hard to think of a more tense declaration and foreshadowing of doom than a film introduction setting the scene with Poland, 1939. We immediately realize we're not in for butterflies and rainbows. No country lost more of its population per capita than Poland did in World War II. This Eastern European country was pulverized twice, first by Nazi Germany and then by marauding Soviets. Audiences are more than familiar with the true story films set in the most notorious concentration camp of them all, Auschwitz-Birkenau, located in Poland. And a based-on-a-true-story film was even recently nominated for Best Foreign Film in 2011, with In Darkness, following a group of Jewish families hiding in the sewers of Lvov. The Zookeeper's Wife joins this long line of heroic accounts and memoirs of Jews hiding from the Gestapo and the very few brave souls who attempted to shelter them. Broad brush, World War II histories mention Warsaw twice. The Warsaw Ghetto and its subsequent brutal liquidation are comprehensively covered in the history books, as is the Warsaw Uprising by the Polish Resistance Home Army. Both of these entities receive at least cursory recognition in The Zookeeper's Wife, but they are not central locations or themes. Director Nicky Caro's film explores the efforts of the real-life Zabinski family, centered on the matriarch Antonina, played by Jessica Chastain, and their efforts to function as a sort of waypoint on the Jewish Underground Railroad out of Warsaw. The Zabinskis operate and run the day-to-day business of the Warsaw Zoo. The film's first scene takes us on a tour of the park as Antonina checks in on the expectant elephant family, the predator cats, and the monkey cage, as a trotting adolescent camel escorts her, acting as a co-pilot. According to screenwriter Angela Workman's script, the Warsaw Zoo was a significant aerial target on 1 September 1939, as the Wehrmacht annihilated Poland's token army and swept across the country. Caro forces the audience to endure a brutal animal slaughter by air-to-ground munitions. Zebras are torn to shreds, mama and baby elephant are early collateral damage, and a suspiciously well-organized militia gathers at the zoo to shoot some more animals deemed threats to the general public. I assume the invading Nazis were a greater threat at the time to public health and safety than Papa Elephant, but the militiamen are more than eager to hand their rifles over to the Germans after they're finished with the animals. The new occupiers finish the job and ensure the audience understands the barbarity of the situation as they play target practice with most of the remaining animals. After Caro finally lets us go and moves on from blowing holes in most of the passengers of Noah's Ark, do we get down to what we're all here for? The subterfuge of transporting and hiding Jews from the ghetto right under the Nazis' noses. Antonina's husband Jan, played by Johann Heldenberg, rigs a system to take trash from the ghetto to feed the pig farm the Zabinskis now run on behalf of the Third Reich, and spirits 2 to 3 people at a time beneath the garbage in his truck. Using underground tunnels underneath some of the exhibits and their own basement to hide and shelter their charges, Caro shows the Zabinskis save kids, women, and sometimes entire families right out of the ghetto. The most shocking and long-term guest is Ursula, played by Shira Haas, a preteen gang-raped by Nazis just off-screen that is stomach-churning in the most extreme. Antonina, always shown cradling a baby, be it an elephant, bunny rabbit, and even a lion cub, cradles Ursula in a similar manner, as she very slowly reintegrates her back into reality. The Nazi in charge of the place is Lutz Heck, played by Daniel Brühl, who labels himself Hitler's chief zoologist. Heck has two ambitions. One is to practice ethically suspect animal husbandry experiments, attempting to reintroduce extinct species back into Germany. And two is to attract the sexual attention of Antonina, whom he takes a sleazy liking to. Caro opts for too literal, showing us through body language the sloppy thrust and repel attempts between the two. Heck has Antonina hold on to a female bison during the animal's rough impregnation, while Heck holds on to her from behind, mimicking the conjugal action. We get it, Ms. Caro. No need to take it over the top. The Zookeeper's Wife makes a wild and off-putting jump 3/4 of the way through, as it tries to squeeze the last 3 years of the war into 30 or so minutes. Antonina's son, turns into an inexplicable jackass, whose only purpose is to skew the plot where it needs to go. And Antonina gives birth out of nowhere, to show the giant leaps in time the film skips over. I can only assume the 2007 non-fiction book by Diane Ackerman, upon which these events are based, does not come across in the same haphazard and choppy manner. The Zookeeper's Wife is acutely graphic in parts, and I felt more squeamish than I did during the entire movie about human cannibalism I saw last week. The Zabinski family's endeavors are only a minor entry in pop culture's examination of the Polish experience in World War II, not because of anything they did or did not do, but the film's introducing them to the world is a middle-of-the-road drama, which many will only remember for quadruped carnage rather than the savior of some of the world's most innocent victims. That is why I give The Zookeeper's Wife 2.5 out of 4 stars.
The Zookeeper's Wife, rated PG-13, now playing at AMC Sundial 20 in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioSt.Pete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit charliejewell.com.